This is actually a recut, kind of, a little bit. I guess a remaster is more the term. We didn't know dick about audio leveling until about the 9th episode, and so it's kind of embarrassing to listen to the first few again. So I'm going through and slowly working my way past, trying to improve them, make them more listenable. And I hope this was a lot easier to listen to than the ones who had to listen to it beforehand. But let me know how you guys think about it. And we'll see if we can go ahead and continue fixing these up for you.
All right. Howdy, folks. This is Tad here from the Hit Podcast, Let Me Tell You About. And I'm finally here with Daniel, a.k.a. DJ, a.k.a. the DM for this podcast. We've been cooking this one up for, like, I don't know, 4 months, something like that. And we're excited to get it going.
Yeah, a lot. So this is Revival, Dungeons & Dragons live play podcast. Sitting here with four wonderful players. We're going to be playing this in Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition because it's what we all know. And before you even say anything, I know you're sitting there. We haven't introduced you yet. I know you want to say you hate 3.5. And with that, throw it over to my brother, Michael.
I hate 3.5. Yeah, so this is Michael. Mike, you might know me as Deadeye or Pulp Fan from the previous episodes. I'm going to be playing this game as well, so looking forward to that. We've spent a lot of time cooking up this world, and I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm Tad. You might recognize my sultry is Dulces? Is that like a vocal thing? I think it is. Dulces. I host, along with Alex, who unfortunately is a big nerd and doesn't like tabletop games, so he won't be joining us for this podcast.
Wait, that's backwards.
Big nerd. Doesn't like tabletop games.
But it's just me here, and then we've got two others. We have my friend and roommate, because I'm living in his mom's basement, Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm new to the internet.
Yeah, and you might have noticed that one of our mics, well, a couple of the mics sound a bit bad. We've got a little bit of a ghetto setup going on right now. We'll have it fixed for further episodes.
Oh, you know that for sure. I'm using Tim's fucking Garbo Xbox 360 microphone because he took my setup and is sitting on my bed in the other room.
He made me use my laptop.
We're building a feel of authenticity here. We've got two players in a literal mom's basement, so you know you're getting the real D&D experience.
The real hardcore D&D experience here.
And then last player, Matt, give us an intro.
Also, coming live to you from a mom's basement.
Oh, shit.
I'm Matt. you have probably heard me before on two of the podcast episodes where Rock, Alex, and I looked into the lore of World of Warcraft. And
so,
yeah.
So, big thing coming in is that in this game, everything is going to be just as it is. We're not going to be fudging anything. No roles are going to be fudged. Everything is just as it is. So, I can't stand it when, you know, DMs fudge dice rolls or set things up so that there's no chance for failure for the players, or set things up so there's no choice but failure for the players. I want to make it so that the story evolves naturally based on people's decisions.
Yeah, so going into this podcast, really, rather than following a set storyline so much, we're in a sandbox world.
Yep, this is a sandbox.
The idea here is, rather than to follow like any sort of narrative path, we're really just going to explore and see what happens.
Yep.
So we want viewers to get immersed in this world.
Which hopefully we can do.
Like, we've all spent a good amount of time thinking about our own characters, their own motivations, how they fit into this world and all that. So everything meshes in really well.
And we'll have a short description of the world itself in the show notes as well for anybody who just wants to read up on that before going in. Without any further ado, let's get started. So, Elias, you're standing in a brand new classroom at the Talnay Academy of Magical Studies. You've just finished your doctorate on the biology of magical creatures, I presume?
Yeah, biology of magical creatures as it pertains to the interactions between physical and mana-based systems.
So why don't you give us a quick introduction of what he looks like?
So my name is Elias Adelhelm. I'm a pretty typical looking elf, about 6 feet tall, mop of dark, messy black hair, half moon glasses, and a typical doctorate elf attire. So some standard robes, and I look a little frazzled. Basically, this is my first time teaching a class.
Right. So you look over your class and you see the seats are nearly empty. There's only about 4 people here, and it's about time to start.
All right, everyone. So you can go ahead and take your seats. We're going to begin class shortly. I want to welcome everyone here to Biology and Magic, an intersectional look at mana-based physical systems.
And at that, 2 people stand up. An elf and a gnome both stand up and just kind of shuffle towards the back. Sorry about that. This is the wrong class.
Oh, can I help you find the right class?
Is this 302?
No, this is 303.
Oh, so it's just next door. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I expected right like 317, like way in the back of the hallway.
It's a pretty big hall. It's not unusual to get lost.
Thank you. So there is one person there who's just, he's like looking at you with rapt attention, and the other guy is just kind of sitting, leaning back a little bit. Doesn't seem to have much going on. They're looking expectantly.
All right, then. Let's get started. As you may know, my name is Elias Adelhelm, but you can just call me Dr. Adelhelm. Yes, in the back there, did you have a question?
Nah.
Right. So, let's begin. First, I'd like everyone to...
You hear a knock on the door.
Yes, can I help you? We're in the middle of class.
Somebody bolts in. You see it's your good friend in the archaeology department, Manwe Olivol.
Oh, Manwe, what's...
He looks very distressed.
What's wrong? You look...
Sorry to interrupt. Come outside.
I'm in the middle of class right now.
I don't care. Come outside.
All right, then. Class, excuse me for one moment.
Okay. He takes you down the hall, leads to the door, opens the door. It was about 1 p.m. when you were about to start class, you know, mid-afternoon. The sky is black.
Whoa. What's going on here, Manly?
Okay. You remember how they said that the portal was going to be opening up in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I've been getting ready.
Yeah, that's ahead of schedule now.
Oh, how ahead of schedule? I don't have...
A couple of hours.
Hours? I don't have anything ready. What are we doing? Look, are we going? Are we staying? Are we going?
I don't know what you're doing. I'm going. Look, a couple of other places have already gotten hit. They're ripping people away.
What do you mean?
They're divine interventioning people out of here. They don't want them to go through.
Damn it. They've started that already.
The gods are mobilizing.
I have to get my equipment. Otherwise, I won't be able to do any of my research.
Look, just get as much as you can while you can. I'm getting you out of here before they show up. They've already started sending out a bunch of clerics and paladins to go. Look, it's been bad. Okay? From what I've heard, from what we got from the scrying, it's been bad. Like, I don't think they've been killing anybody, but like they're not taking people's free will into account here.
So what's he doing about this?
Do you see this guy? That's what he's doing about this.
So that's why they're accelerating it?
That's why they're accelerating it.
All right. I'm going to run back to my class, grab my bug out bag. Meet me back here in 5 minutes.
Sure. Yeah, fine.
All right. So I'm going to head back to the classroom. I've got a bag of regular supplies and stuff I keep under my lectern.
The two students look rather surprised and concerned about what's going on.
Class, I hate to tell you this, but we're gonna have to cancel class for today. It looks like the as you all know, the portal has been accelerating in pace. And if anyone has any business to finish here in the university, I suggest you do so immediately.
Wait, how soon are we talking here? I wasn't entirely ready to go over to the Rock yet.
From what I just heard, you have a few hours.
And at that, they both just bolt out of there.
So, yeah, classes canceled. Don't worry about the midterm. I'm gonna grab my bag and adjust my glasses a bit as I head to the door.
Okay, so you head to the door, and the first thing that you notice is Mawe is not there anymore.
I'm gonna what start you do see, looking around.
What you do see, kind of at the edge of the campus grounds, is you see a ensemble of brightly attired elves in gold regalia marching towards the campus.
Do I recognize these as a group?
Have I ever seen these ropes before? You most certainly have.
What group
These would be some holy knights of the Order of Corallon.
Oh.
Normally, you know, the god of arts and culture and things like that, these guys don't seem too keen on that right now.
I'm going to sort of try to look nonchalant and walk quickly but purposefully in the other direction towards the portal entrance.
So, yeah, you see the portal starting to rip itself through the campus grounds. It's a gaping black swirling maw blocking out a lot of the sky, slowly engulfing buildings, and you do hear somebody behind you shout, and you feel kind of your coat back kind of get tugged.
I'm going to attempt to get low onto the ground to try to avoid being like ripped to pieces.
No, yeah, you kind of like pull back. Your coat is kind of pulled off of you, right? Your nice traveling coat, and you see it kind of floating back to one of them. And you see several of them motion towards you.
Beckoning or?
Like signaling the others to do the same.
All right. I think.
And you see several other young students and stuff being just pulled back into some form of white light and then disappearing.
I think I'm going to look from those guys back to the portal and decide, well, I guess if I'm going, I'm going now. I'm going to let go.
Okay. So you run through, you jump in, and you hop into the portal.
Yep.
Reality kind of closes itself around you. Everything is black. You see a slight flash of light in the center, and then light just starts rushing past you. It feels like your body is being stretched, right?
I assume I can't even scream at this point.
No. You do feel something like... You feel something tugging on your leg. It feels like they put something on you before you got all the way through.
The hooded figures?
Yes. There's some form of charm on you. Something's wrong.
I'm going to try and shake it off as best I can, but I don't know any dispelling magic, so...
Right. No, the very nature of where you are is starting to bleed it off, but it feels like you've been slowed.
All right.
As in, you see other people, like small specks, kind of flit in front of you and flit by you incredibly quickly, and you're just stuck approaching this light and just they're just constantly rushing by you, and then finally you approach the light, and the first thing you see, you open your eyes are just blurred, right? You can see kind of a blurred figure standing in a clearing. It's raining. It's a large orc. He's standing next to a strange wooden structure. You recognize it as a house, but it looks entirely strange to you, not like any architecture you've ever seen. He's holding a small shovel and appears to be crying next to two plots that you recognize must be graves. There are white wings sprouting out of his back, and he turns. He looks at you for a second, squints his eyes, and he gets sucked right back. Everything is black again. It looks like you almost made it through.
I mean, I'm going to try and focus myself as much as I can to see if there's any way I can affect my situation.
Right. So you focus. You're trying to reach through. Right.
Yeah, I'm reaching out to any sort of astral plane I might be able to find. Like, as an elf, I should be able to connect somehow.
There isn't.
At least on a subconscious level.
There isn't one. You attempt to, there isn't one.
That's very disturbing to me.
Manage to reach through again. This time you appear to be hovering in the air. A couple of feet above the air. You can't really move your hands or feel anything. And ahead of you, almost in slow motion, you see a large metallic vehicle moving along some metal tracks that you're on. You see a young man that you recognize as an elf, kind of reclining on the top of it. His hair has been cut into a rough mohawk, the sides shaved, and he's got a strange mask on his face, covering just the lower half of his face, like from the nose down. It's a black metal mask with one small vent on the side. And you can faintly hear somebody yell, "Casey, there's something on the road!"
I try and scream, I guess, too.
You see the elf look up, look at you. Like, his eyes go wide, and he just swings himself into the vehicle, and you hear it start to screech. And it's moving towards you, and right as it feels it was about to impact you, you slam, land flat on your back, and you're in the middle of a forest.
Can I move around? Am I awake now?
You attempt to stand up. You're almost there, it feels.
I'm gonna try and stand up, look around, see what kind of place I'm in.
Everything is white. You recognize trees and leaves, but they're all covered with a sort of white sticky substance, almost like spider web.
I'm gonna try and stand still and not really try to move around, but try to get my bearings.
You kind of hear something skitter a little bit behind you.
I'm gonna maintain my stance, but start reaching towards my bag because I should have a dagger or a knife or something to protect myself with.
You see, whatever it was, it doesn't seem to have noticed you at all. It's this black figure. It's rather dark out right now. The light's being blocked out. Skitters over, and it reaches into a bulge on one of the trees. Kind of cuts the silk, reaches out what looks to be some sort of body-shaped figure, attaches it to itself, and skitters back up the tree.
I'm going to try and just be silent so they don't notice me.
Alright. So, you go silent. The second you close your eyes, you feel like you're falling.
Again, this is very disturbing to me. I don't like the events that are transpiring. I feel like this is not exactly what I was expecting going through the portal.
Right. So, you feel like you're falling. You open your eyes. Oh, hey, look, you're falling.
Oh, that's not good.
I didn't see that coming.
I'm going to just flail around, I guess. I'm getting up here.
You can finally breathe, and you can finally utter your voice. And as you scream, you just land flat on your back. So, you stand up and look around, and you see massive, gigantic, what look like stone and glass structures. Just hundreds and hundreds of feet tall. And hundreds of them. You're in the middle of what looks like a street. And some people are starting to crowd around you. The buildings are overgrown with grasses and mosses, and you can faintly see imps and wyverns darting through broken glass windows. A young orc man runs up to you.
I'm going to sort of...
His clothes are very strange, by the way. He's wearing a shirt with no seams whatsoever. It's not made of leather or any material you would recognize. just a white shirt and some blue denim pants.
I'm going to instinctively reach into my bag and just try and grab something or anything I can find and roll off to the side to try and protect myself.
Okay, so you take up your fighting stance, right?
Yeah.
He kind of holds up his hands, shakes his hands a bit, and starts saying something in common, or what sounds like common. Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Stay back. I don't want any trouble.
He's gonna. You say that in Elven?
Yeah, Elven.
He kind of turns, like he looks confused. He starts looking around. He motions to another guy, a young elf, and points at you.
Stay back.
This guy says in Elven, whoa. I'd heard that we were getting some people through, but wait, did you just come through the portal?
I think so. I don't know what's going on.
Calm down, man. Calm down. You're okay.
I guess I'll sit on the ground.
Yeah, you pull up over to the side of the street. You just... Yeah, you're in the middle of a large street. There's just hundreds of these huge, huge buildings all around you. There are a large number of people walking down this thoroughfare, and they all seem to be kind of circling around you, but keeping some distance. They seem quizzical as to what's going on here.
I'm going to turn to the side and immediately vomit.
Oh, shit. He says.
I mean, I feel like the sense of vertigo and just total disorientation is going to be too much for me right now.
He's going to go over to you, kind of like pat your back a little bit. You okay?
I'm fine. Is this the Rock?
Yeah, this is the Rock.
Shit. I mean, I didn't think there'd... What are those buildings? Where?
Skyscrapers. Okay, you're going to need to learn a lot. Okay, there's some woods around here that we can take you to. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Elias Adelhelm, Dr. Adelhelm. From the university.
Oh, the university. Oh, they're still around, yeah. It's been a while, but yeah, they're still around.
Wait, didn't they just come through?
Well, let's just say it's a good thing you're an elf, man.
Wait.
It's been a while. It's been about, I think it's been 60 years since people first came through.
I'm gonna turn to the side and vomit again. This is far too much for me to process right now.
Yeah, man, when, some people who didn't come through right away or had came through right as scouts were trying to suck them away kind of got stuck. Pretty much everybody already came through. You're one of the latest ones I've ever heard of, man.
Oh. Shit. Wait, so you said the university is still around.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They're here. The people who were here before... there's one place left in this massive city that's got some vegetation in it. Here, come on, let's go to Central Park.
All right, I'll put my arm on his shoulder and sort of stand up shakily.
All right, he's going to shout out in a kind of bastardized version of common, like, "Come get out of here, nothing to see."
I guess I'm going to ask why is everyone speaking common?
Oh, yeah, it's been a while. So, basically, when we came through, there were people here.
People? Like elves? Like orcs? Like
humans? Only humans.
Humans? But I heard they weren't allowed through the portal. I thought that was...
No, they were here already.
That's not what I heard. I heard that...
Yeah, that wasn't what anybody heard.
This place was supposed to be empty.
It was. Well, now it is. yeah, as it turns out here, like, I don't know all the specifics of how it worked. I'm sure people at the university will know how it worked. But from what I heard, us coming through didn't really do them a whole lot of good.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, this is their city. We're just kind of using it.
All right. Well, thank you for your help, I suppose.
All right. Look, the university, you shouldn't be able to miss it. Just follow, you know, follow your senses. It's the only place with a huge amount of vegetation, natural life in this area. It's about like half a mile south of here.
All right. I'm going to try and use common, I guess. Thank you. Fine, sir.
He kind of looks at you a bit weird. And then kind of his eyes go up. And he says back in Elven, yeah, take care, man.
I'm going to kind of look at the ground a little downcast. I guess then I'm going to start heading towards Central Park, but I'm going to try and reach out to, since he said it's a place full of vegetation, my natural inclination is just going to be to follow a mana signature there.
Yeah, it feels weak. Everything feels weak.
I guess I'm going to go towards the strongest signature then.
You go towards the strongest one. It's not hard to find at all, really. So as you start weaving your way through these streets, you see a small metallic vehicle kind of cruise on by, headed by a small gnome man.
I'm going to look at it quizzically, but sort of keep my head down. I don't want to attract too much attention to myself.
Yeah. So there are definitely some people who are wearing something that looks quite similar to what you are. You don't stand out that much. What you are noticing, though, is that there's everybody here. You know, back at the university, it was pretty much just elves, the occasional gnome.
I mean, that's not really going to bother me too much, I guess.
Right. It's not going to bother you, but it's going to be something that you're going to notice.
Yeah, definitely.
There seems to be a rather even mix of different types of people here, and it runs the complete gambit.
So we're talking like elves, orcs, even?
Elves, orcs. You see definitely a large amount of half-elves, half-orcs. Tieflings, you've got... you see a couple of minotaurs even.
Oh, I'm going to give the tieflings and minotaurs sort of a more of a wide berth.
Yeah. So you eventually make your way down, right?
Uh-huh.
You kind of come into a bit of a clearing, right? And you see a gigantic spire. Classic architecture. It's like they ripped it straight from what you remember. It's the Academy.
I guess I'm going to feel sort of a mix of relief, and at the same time, it sort of seems off to me.
Yeah, it definitely does not. It sticks out like a sore thumb. Also, all the plants and vegetation is all things that you remember. It's like they just cut the place out and put it over here. Which, from what you remember, was something that they were talking about being able to do, maybe, but not to this extent.
All right, I guess I'm gonna go up towards the main gate and hail them, give them my name.
So you walk up to the main gate. There's a it isn't guarded or anything. It's wide open.
Oh, I guess I'm going to.
You just walk onto campus. And you can walk up to the area that you remember being the dean's office if you would like.
I think, yeah. Actually, the first thing I want to do is I want to see if my friend made it through all right.
Okay, so you're going to go up to the old archaeology department and see what went up?
Yeah, I'm going to stick my head into the archaeology department and start asking.
So you walk through. People kind of look at you a bit weird because you look kind of dirty and like you just got hit by a truck. But you poke your head in, and you see a young elf woman sitting at the front desk, She's wearing some nice robes, some nice blue and cerulean robes with some red linings.
Right. I'm going to introduce myself. Hello, there. This is an elven, I guess. I'm not sure if you remember me, but my name is Dr. Adelhelm. I'm here to see my friend Manway. Professor Manway.
You mean Dr. Olival?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think he was a doc. He finished his doctorate already?
He finished his doctorate many years ago, sir.
Oh, well, I guess congratulations to him then. Is he in?
She's going to press a small button on the desk.
I'm going to just be sort of quizzical about
speak
that.
Speak into something and say, Dr. Olival, there's a person here who claims to be a friend of yours, a Dr. Adelhelm. Going to let go of the button, and you just hear, and he busts through the door.
Oh.
Like, just swings the door open, runs up to you, and just gives you a big hug.
I guess I'm going to...
Like, nearly tackles you.
I'm going to give him a hug back. It's my boy. I'm gonna hug him, and then I'm gonna say, "Manway, you old goat."
Yeah, he looks
old, man.
He looks. One of the complaints you remember him saying was that his beard never quite came in right, and it still doesn't.
So you've been here 60 years. You can't grow a good beard still.
But now, instead of a like the patchy black stuff on his face, it's patchy and a little bit gray.
I had 60 years to finish that beard. You couldn't do it.
Oh, come on. Look, you actually made it through. I thought you were lost.
I think I was lost. For me, it's only been a few minutes, but I guess...
Yeah. Come on in. I'll fill you all in.
I'm gonna follow him up.
He leads you into his office.
I finished that PhD, I guess.
Yeah, it was a... Well, let me just tell you. Getting it here is not as hard as back there.
Really? Wait, I thought this place was supposed to be empty.
Well, it was. I mean, it became empty. Very quickly. Okay, let me let you in on it. Remember how, you know, they always said it's not possible for living beings to exist without mana?
Yeah, I mean, no. Everyone knows that. It's sort of one of the basis for my research, you know, the interactions between mana and biology.
It's possible.
I don't believe you.
That's understandable, but...
I mean, look. That contradicts everything. That I know,
yes.
That we know about mana interaction. That's like saying you could live
water
without
isn't
water.
Wet. Yeah, it is. The portal got opened, and by the time we came through, the dragon, he likes to just people just call him Red these days.
Ah,
but said that the shockwave that was coming through mana being introduced into a void. Well, it didn't bode well for things that aren't based around it.
Wait, not based around mana? What do you mean?
There were humans here. None.
I mean, they said that, but...
Humans without mana. None.
So what, are they all dead? They're all...
Well, they're all dead now. The mana killed them.
Wait, mana kill?
I mean, it can be used to kill, but no, we're talking fundamentally toxic.
I need to start my research right now.
Look. Let me just tell you, this place
sure
is insane.
That's all fine and great.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure you have, you know, all sorts of, you know. bones and things to dig up, but I need to start my research right now.
No. Look, there's a couple of things that I need to tell you before you do that. Pitfalls that we learned in the last 60 years, you know, the trees to not go barking up, right?
I mean, you know me, I've never been so good at that, but...
Right. Oh, man, I'm glad you're back. But, so, big ones. You would expect that in a world with sentient creatures, that there would be, well, gods.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
There aren't
any. I've reached out... What do you mean? No gods.
There aren't any.
Well, but then, how are they connecting to the astral plane?
They aren't.
You're telling me... What you're telling
there
me right now
one. Is... That we found
not
there is not
an
one.
You're going to have to show me some proof of this right now, because this is sounding...
Just try it.
This sounded like a big prank to me.
Try it.
All right, I'm going to try and connect to the mana-based astral plane.
Yeah, you're going to, like, try and... Like, because you've got a feel for it.
Yeah, right? I mean, during my research...
You aren't a mage. You don't have any, like... You can't draw power from... You can still feel it.
Yeah, I'm just going to try
there.
Okay, man. You know, cut off... You could stop the damper spell. Very funny.
There isn't one. Look, what I'm telling you is don't be surprised when you go out there and you find creatures that don't make any sense.
You're telling me there's creatures. Creatures that don't have mana.
Non-mana creatures. None. They don't emit a mana signature. You can't track them with mana. Nothing.
So you've had 60 years. Tell me what you know. Like, where's the specimens? Where's the research?
We've been a bit busy with other things. We were actually really hoping that you would come through sooner. Basically, the only people who have started to get study done in your field are only barely starting to get up to half the point that you were at before in terms of understanding.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Yes, that definitely hasn't changed in the last, well, for you it's only been a couple of hours. But basically right now, we're in a bubble. We're in a bubble of livable area. Here. And he reaches into his desk, he pulls out a map.
All right.
Look at this continent. We're here. He points at the upper right portion. We're in this city. These are maps that the humans who didn't have any mana made.
Wait, it's a little rough, but it's basic. You telling me, did you make this map?
We didn't make this map. They did.
But
look, their understanding of technology, my theory is that to compensate for the lack of mana, they somehow, I don't know how they did it, but their understanding of technology was far beyond ours. Since they don't have any mana, they didn't have anything to rely on. If you can't, for example, conjure fire with magic, you need a reliable way to do so. If you can't teleport, you need a reliable, fast method of mass transportation. Things like that.
I guess that makes sense to me, but you can't possibly sustain an entire civilization without mana. That's just
mana. Mana did not exist in this universe.
Okay, then.
So, we're here, right? The dragon, Red, and some of what we've been able to grow, the mana-producing plants, right? Mana-producing plants, animals that emit it, have been able to extend our livable area. However, once you get out here, and he points west on the map, these are dead zones. These are areas that have no mana. Or if they do, it's only the tracest amount.
So, you're telling me there's an entire biome, an entire world outside the city that's completely untouched?
Not completely. As you know better than me, there are some creatures that need very little mana to survive. Those have managed to get out further, but I'm not entirely sure of the scope. That's your field.
I mean, it's good to see you again, but I really this is a lot to take in. I really need to start at least getting set back up here.
Right. Yeah. We'll get you an office. God. We're gonna have to talk to him.
Talk to who? Don't tell me the dean's still here.
No, there's a new dean.
Don't tell me it's the dean's son.
It's Various Talne.
Oh, for that pissant. That
yes.
kid is the dean?
He's not a kid anymore. Well, at least not in appearance.
It's been 60 years. I doubt he's matured that much.
Surprisingly, he has. Like, he's done a pretty good job, but all new office acquisitions have to go through him.
You're telling me that I have to go talk to Mr. Mana is Sacred, Mana is Pure.
Look, I've heard it 100 times from you. Okay, I know the spiel. I get it. Yes.
Okay, let's go get it over with.
Okay, I'll come with you.
All right, I guess I'm going to resign myself to heading into the dean. And I'm not going to bother cleaning up my appearance at all.
Yeah. Nice. So, as you're walking down the hallway, a lot of the people that you would recognize as students by their robes kind of look at you quizzically because, you know, your appearance is just so disheveled compared to...
Honestly, I'm used to it. This is pretty much...
Compared to Dr. Alval here. So, the dean's office isn't very far from the archaeology department, only a couple of buildings. You know, you just make some small talk. He fills you in on some more details. He, you know, as you're walking through the courtyard, he just turns to you and goes, "So, while we're walking, let me just... My field has been booming here.
Well, yeah,
there
is you must have
so much to uncover about this old civilization. But I know we always used to just bitch at each other about stuff that people didn't get in our fields, right?"
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
So humor me if I go back to, well, to me, the old times. He's going to kind of breathe in. So, let me tell you. When you were walking here, you probably saw 5 of these, right? You saw 5 old buildings with a sign. Right? There was a small image. There was a small circular image of this green lady, right?
I mean, it didn't seem that odd to me. It looks like, you know, fairly standard temple, right?
No. No, 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 no. It isn't. And he's, "Do you know how hard it is to convince people that not everything is a divine symbol?
Well,
just because there's a symbol everywhere doesn't mean it's a holy symbol. You know that place? That place was a shop. It sold coffee. There were a ton of them. Just because it had star in the name doesn't mean it was a celestial deity. And now, no matter how many times you try and tell people about that, there'll be 2 or 3 cults every couple of years that pop up claiming to be the sons or daughters of some new stupid deity, only for me to turn around, research it, and find out it was a clothes store."
I mean... Sucks to be you, I guess.
Well, it's good to see
a more interesting field of study, my friend. I told you when we were in grad school, I told you archaeology is boring, but you didn't want to listen.
No, it's not boring. It's incredibly interesting. People are just stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, did you expect anything else?
I mean, kind of.
That's where you messed up.
All right, we're here. He turns and the dean's door is magnificent. You see a gold placard with his name emblazoned on it.
I'm going to open the door without knocking. I'm older than this guy by 3 decades.
So, a man that you recognize, he's now sporting a long, elegant beard and long, flowing blonde hair, gleaming blue eyes, the most immaculate purple and gold robes. And he turns up at you and goes, wide-eyed, stands up, is smiling.
Going to sort of look down for a second and I'm going to dust my robe off just a little bit on his floor.
Hey! Various. Various Tame. Oh, it's so great to see you again.
Various, you made it through the portal, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I made it through. We all thought that you might have made it through earlier, but we're just out in the woods for a while.
You know me. I just just love to study the woods.
Yeah. Right? So, did you just come through? He just came through?
Yeah, just came through the portal.
Wow.
It's wow, you know, quite the place you got here.
So as you can see, I'm the dean around here now. It's a great honor, and I love doing it. But so Manway, what are you guys here for? Just introductions, or?
You know, just you know, if you could just set me up with my old office and you know, quick course schedule, I'll just I'll just stay out of your hair.
Oh yeah, no problem. So the biology department has gotten a little bit bigger. So I can't just put you in as the head right now. We currently have one, and I can't just take that away from him.
Of course not. Who is the head of the biology department now?
Don't mind
my asking.
Oh, you wouldn't know him. From one of the other academies, when Dr. Luzvol, he's a gnome.
Okay. What's his specialty? You don't mind my asking.
Oh, you see, he made a big name for himself here in, figuring out, how these non-magical creatures, how they live, because they can't, live without mana, so we thought.
So I assume he's got detailed notes to perform some dissections.
You know. I think.
All right then. So yeah, that sounds fine. I'll just get set up then.
Yeah. So you leave the office. And a couple of weeks go by. What you found is that this guy and this department, their primary concern is attempting to figure out ways to integrate the new society into these mana voids, right?
So they're not really studying biology at all.
No, they're trying to figure out very practical applications of how to safely maneuver through these mana voids.
So they don't have notes on,
primarily by means of terraforming and, you know, expanding mana's influence and ways to combat non-magical creatures.
Great. Fantastic.
So a couple of weeks go by, they set you up with a class. And the first thing that you notice is that it's essentially a 101 class.
So I'm not popular again.
Again.
Fantastic. So this class, I guess, I've prepared.
These are going to be some fairly young elves, relatively.
Right. So for this class, I've sort of had it. I've had it now. This is. I've reached my boiling point. No one is doing any real research around here.
You try and get like a research expedition going on, and there's all these rules about how you have to maneuver. You can't just go out there. No.
Sounds like a bunch of hot bullshit to me. So, I suppose if this is all right, in secret, I definitely would have been moonlighting out there.
Oh, absolutely.
To the extent possible. So for this class, I've prepared a very, very informative and interesting lesson, and I'm going to roll it in on a cart covered in cloth.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so we're rolling in this cart. It's making some big clunk, clunk, clunk sounds. Underneath the cart is what appears to be, or on top of the cart, covered by a sheet, is what looks to be a very large lump. And I'm going to roll in and say, class, everyone, gather around. You in the back there.
Professor Olival?
Adelhelm, remember, we went over this.
What is that?
You scoot in close, guys. Don't worry about it. This is, we're going to do some hands-on biology today. I'm sure you've all heard the rumors of mana-based creatures integrating with non-mana-based life forms, correct?
Yeah, like a hybrid.
Yeah, hybrids. Very, very interesting. Good.
Yeah.
So today I've collected a specimen, and we're going to just...
Is it dead?
Well, it's dead now. And
are you sure?
Look, you guys do realize that biology isn't just writing poems about what you see out in the woods, right? In order to fully understand a system, you have to be able to take it apart. So that's what we're going to do today. And I pull off the sheet, and there is a very large, very dead, I guess it would look like a mix between, like, almost a rhino and a rat. Thick skin, pretty monstrous looking. So, class, today, if you could all look under your desks, we've got some scalpels, some gloves. You'll want to put those on. And, come on up.
What are we going to be doing with these scalpels?
Well, here, I'll show you. First, I want you to note the eye sockets on this. They're very interesting.
Yeah, they're very big.
Yeah, normally mana-based creatures use the mana field to sense, so we don't see large ocular structures.
Uh-huh.
As the creatures in this world. So if you just take the scalpel here, and we'll just cut along the eye socket. And
you just hear
eye,
a couple of shrieks, and like half of the class passes out.
Look, I'm sorry, this is going to be on the test, so you're going to need to take notes on this.
The other half is now vomiting.
Look, I understand that you've all had nice little sheltered lives where you take, you know, drawings and sketches of your animal friends out of the woods, but this is the real world, and you're all going to need to understand that to understand a system, you have to be able to take it apart. So, look, we're going to take the scalpel, and this is the very interesting part here. You remove the skin, and look, if you just poke this organ right here, skin hardens. It's a fantastic biological adaptation that we do not see in purely mana-based creatures.
So you hear a knock on the door.
Yes, come in. We're in the middle of class.
You see a couple of armed, what you recognize as security members.
Gentlemen, there's no problem here. This is a perfectly normal class.
They look over at the corpse. Did you get any sort of authorization to bring one of those in here?
It's dead. I don't need authorization to carry around a dead animal. Like,
they kind of flank you and grab one of your arms each, put them behind your back. Yeah. Class, sorry about this. We're going to need to take you.
Class is not canceled. This is going to be on the midterm.
They start dragging you out.
But you take notes on what I've done so far and finish the dissection path.
The door closes behind you. So, snap cut, back in the dean's office. He's kind of got his hands clasped together into like a double fist. He's resting his head on top of it.
This is bullshit, and you know it.
Man, what? Oh, God. Elias?
Doctor.
Adam. Elias.
Doctor, if you please. I didn't finish my doctorate to spend my time taking notes and writing poems about how nice mana is.
This is a problem. This is a real problem. We can't have you bringing in potentially dangerous creatures into a classroom full of children.
Dead. They have to learn. How do you expect anyone to go out into into the dead zones and study this world?
We don't know how these things work. We don't know if they emit some form of toxin.
That's my concern. Really? That's your concern?
Safety.
Uh-huh. Safety. That's why you keep them all cooped up in here. That's why you affect the outside world with mana without even bothering to understand the implications of doing so.
Look, we've got a thing around here. The city's new. The rules are new. When we got a problem like this, look, we're going to go together and hash this out with... He kind of looks at you. Well, he likes to refer to himself as Red these days.
You must be kidding. This is a joke, right?
Look, we aren't allowed to just throw you out of the city. That would be barbaric. After all, it's an inhospitable wasteland out there.
Yeah, like you would know anything about it. When's the last time you even went outside the city walls?
Several decades ago, but anyway. Just come with me peacefully, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to stand up quickly and start walking to the door.
You open the door, and there's about 10 guards.
I'm going to turn around and go, figures.
Sorry, old friend.
I'm going to dust my my jacket off in his office again. It's still very dirty.
So you get led, you get put into what you now know as a car. Looks to be a red van of some sort. Very rare, very expensive. They kind of shove, you know, kind of jostle you in there.
I don't
into
find
the back seat.
It's impressive.
And they start driving on down. Look, it'll be about 20 minutes until we get there. We're coming in unannounced, so we might have to wait for a bit. But just don't cause any trouble. This is the driver.
I'm not the one causing trouble here, okay?
Yes,
do you even understand the magnitude of what's being done at this university? Do you comprehend the importance of this kind of research?
Snaps his finger. You see one of them cast, and your mouth just closes.
And I'm going to stop.
So you get led up to a large circular building, right? It's fairly heavily overgrown, but it looks like it's been kept fairly nice. Like, the bushes around it have been trimmed. You see two very large draconic dragonborn guards standing out front. They're carrying some guns.
Would I recognize guns at this point?
Yes.
That's going to give me pause, for sure.
So they kind of look at the car. The car stops. You kind of get pushed out. You still get, the silence spell is still on you.
Yeah.
They kind of walk on up to various. Go, Dean Talley. What do we owe the pleasure of this visit for? Yes, we need to speak to Red for a bit to hash out a little bit of a problem that we've had. Need to know what we can do about this one here. Brought in a fairly, well, dangerous to my understanding, creature into my college.
I'm going to roll my eyes audibly.
Actually, and he's going to kind of look over at the other guard. She kind of nods back at him. Yeah, there's already some people in there right now. Should be fine, I think. Yeah, just head on in. He goes, thank you. You walk in. It is a massive building. You walk past these stands and into a small corridor, and it opens up as you go through this dark tunnel. The light shines, and first thing that you notice is it is dazzling. You're in a gigantic amphitheater.
I'm feeling more and more like I may have fucked up.
In a gigantic amphitheater with wall-to-wall gold and gems and jewels. And in the center, on a large rectangular stage, you can see three other people with various guards around them sitting or kneeling or, in one case, standing rather stoically. And in front of them is the dragon. A colossal ancient red dragon.
I'm going to swallow audibly.
At that point, they kind of snap their fingers. The spell is dispelled. They bring you up. He looks to have been, you know, either just awoken or half asleep. Kind of leans his neck back, stretches a bit, flexes his wings a little bit. They're wrapped around him slightly. He raises his head, opens his eyes, looks down at you, turns over to his guards. I thought I told you. No visitors right now. This was important, boss. Don't call me boss. You're free to leave whenever you wish. I don't employ you. Whatever you say, boss. This is cutting into my time rather immensely. Just all of you, please keep it down. And he lifts his wing, and you see a large group of about 10 or 15 small goblin and kobold children kind of resting up on his wing. You're interrupting nap time.
Is this the first time I would have met the dragon directly?
Yes.
All right. I'm feeling any sort of confidence that I had before walking in here has sort of evaporated at this point, and I'm feeling like oh shit, I may have definitely made some mistakes back there.
He yawns. You see a small puff of flame come out. Noticeably, he is incredibly large, the largest dragon anyone has ever seen. His body is battle scarred very, very heavily. He has two horns that curve back across his head and reach up and extend. Two sets of two horns, rather. And he stretches his neck. You hear a couple of audible cracks. Please, don't keep me waiting for long. So, what is this?
You see,
He kind of leans over at you, sniffs a bit, opens his eyes a bit. Oh, you just came through. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you see.
Calm down. You're fine. Don't worry. Various, why did you bring another person here? He goes, well, you see, he was causing trouble. I really. This is what was so important. All right. And the rest of you. So, Various, just tell me what he did that you want me to hash out. Yes, the. Man. Elias Adelhelm. Dr. Elias Adelhelm, a biology researcher, brought a potentially highly dangerous magical beast into a schoolroom full of children. And you, he turns and looks at a large robed man wearing a strange mask. And, Ted, why don't you describe your character?
My character is, his name is Patton Nordstrom. And as Red looks towards him, he's sitting in a, a crisscross applesauce position here. And he slowly gets up, and he keeps going up, and he keeps going up. And he's rail thin, 6'4". He's got a very dark robe over his body, over the top half of his body, and like a secondary outfit underneath. On his face, his most impressive feature is he has a gas mask in the shape of a bird's, like, beak. At the tip of it, there's a bit of, like, there's some speckled bits, like a kind of filter.
Any viewer would recognize it as a plague doctor mask.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got one filter on the side of his cheek.
And you're being flanked by a dwarf and a rather angry-looking hobgoblin. And dwarf reads out, Patton Nordstrom, race unknown, age unknown. Defaulted on a pretty big debt to a certain artificers guild up in Detroit, and we're looking to collect. And he has nothing to say for himself.
I was hired on very graciously, I might add. As you may know, or you may notice, I am a highly magical creature. This isn't a very safe place for my kind.
Yes.
I somewhat recently have been working as a scrapper. I've been going out on missions, collecting materials that I've been commissioned for and returning them back.
Yes.
I was recently sent out and fitted with my current mask to let me go out further and, you know, survive. I was brought out and I was brought to an area I was not informed of. I was incredibly unprepared for. It was essentially a death sentence. And when I came back without what they wanted me to get, because it was impossible, they tripled the debt. They tripled the cost of the material that they had given me and expected me to pay for it.
I see. That's awful.
It's we'll completely impossible for me to pay that.
I understand. We'll come back. Don't worry. I understand you completely. And you there. I've heard of you, Orc. And
Ogre Brick Smasher, please call me John.
Tim, would you mind describing what your character looks like?
Yes. I am an orc. I'm a little over 6 foot tall. Got some tusks, not too big. One of them's a little chipped. Nothing broken. I've got a leather duster. I've got a blue and white kind of striped flannel shirt, blue jeans. Got some sturdy work boots. Got me a cowboy hat. I assume I don't have my weapons on me.
You currently do not. No.
Okay. So none of that stuff. I'm supposed to be talking with kind of a southern accent. I don't think that's going to come through. But just imagine.
Anyway, for the sake of consistency, you can go ahead. And you're being flanked by two fairly thin, gaunt-looking elves. Go, John Brick Smasher. He broke up a rogue cult on the outskirts of New York, literally. So, vigilantism and, dealing death. That's what he's done. Oh. The dragon kind of brings his head back. A Justicar. A dispenser of justice. You take the law into your own hands, don't you, there?
Now, Mr. Red, sir, we got us a problem here. We got rogue cults out there. They're killing people. They're doing awful stuff. We got to stop this. We got to bring Christianity to this land.
Right. Look, if people are doing stuff like that, well, you don't just kill them every time. Look, I understand you mean well. I really do. But I don't know if I can really abide by that. You get me?
Well, I'm out there every day. I don't just jump to violence. I only use it as a last resort.
I understand. But I understand. I just want to let you know. I know what being in that position is like. Okay? I'm just saying. Kinda
You and me, sir, we got us the same problem. We got these people out here. They ain't living by any laws. They ain't decent folk. They ain't right.
According to some descriptions, not all of which I agree with. So, you. And he turns, his eyes narrow. And Matt, why don't you please describe your character?
All right. So my character is Jaron Thalatak. He is a 5'11 tiefling. He is a warlock, and he stands about 5'11 tall, as I said, and his hair is it's slicked back into a little undercut kind of fashion where the sides are buzzed up. And he has two horns that kind of spread back over the side of his head, kind of like across the buzz hair part. And he's wearing a polka dot button up, very flamboyant. The colors are almost aggressive, and almost as aggressively colored are his pants, which are red, fiery red. And he has he's wearing some boots. Looks like he found those in one of those old surplus stores that are just like on street corners.
Yeah. So you're being flanked by the dragon's personal guards, and you I was expecting at some point here. And he stands up, and you notice one of the small children, one of the kobolds, is kind of climbing up on top of him. He kind of looks over at it. Kind of climbs up his neck, is on top of his head, and he stands up all the way, but grabs onto his horn and holds on. So, tiefling, do you think that you can make a fool of an ancient and powerful dragon and face no retribution? And at this point, the kobolds beneath him are just looking up at him, wrapped in awe.
I kind of have like a smile and amazement on my face. It's almost a shit-eating grin. Wow. Yeah, I got to say, man. Red, my name's Jaron. You can call me Jerry.
I know.
You got to
stop talking.
Oh, okay.
You do that enough.
I'm just going to sit right back down.
So, journalist, you came into my home claiming to have information that I would find very useful and informative, things that I would want to know, and all of it vapid self-promotion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't you think the people have a right to know?
How did you say it? The story of the century?
Yeah, the story of the millennium, pal.
Was you making a contract with the viewers of your television show?
Yeah, so you see, the more interesting the story is, well...
I understand how it works. You made a warlock contract with a large mass of people under my control and without my consent.
Oh, was I not supposed to do that?
No.
I kind of like look side to side, and my smile just kind of fades.
So,
I'm starting to feel better about my situation.
He stands up, lowers his head, and previously his pupils were, you know, like circular, kind of narrowed into that cat-like slit.
Oh boy.
He just opens his mouth, starts yawning, and you just see crackles. You two might want to move away.
I pointed myself like, do you mean me?
The guards. You all stand off to the side as well.
I take a few steps back. Maybe turn my head away a little bit.
Tat will just kind of sidestep a few times. He's got very long legs.
The kobold and goblin children are looking up at him in complete amazement. Allow me to demonstrate what happens when you mess with a red dragon.
I'm going to stand up, put both my hands up, and say, hey!
You see embers forming. He's clearly attempting to breathe at you. And he's going to bring down his head, open his mouth wide. You see the flame start and then smoke. He narrows his lips and just shoots a jet of air at you, knocking you flat on your back. He just sits back down. Do you know how it feels to be deceived now? Huh?
Yeah.
Come on. All right. All right. Kids, please go. You can go back to, you can go back to your homes here. Please, playtime is over for right now. And as they funnel out, he kind of looks back at you. The eyes go back to normal. Sorry, they look up to me so much. Had to put on a little bit of a show at least.
I exhale because I've been holding my breath this whole time.
I'm like still lying on the ground. I kind of pick my head up a little bit. I go, hey, Zep, how good did that look?
Your little imp kind of phases in. We weren't rolling. They told us not to.
I did all that for you to. Oh, I just kind of lay back down.
And with that, I think that might be a good place to cut first episode.